You really don't own anything. It's all on loan to you for about 80 years. You didn't bring a single thing into this world, and you're not going to carry anything out of it either. You just get to use it while you're here on earth. The Bible calls that stewardship, that you are the manager or you are the steward of what God allows you to have while you're here, but it's not really yours.
Hello, and thanks for joining us here on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue with a series called Growing in the Seasons of Life. You know, just like a growing season for plants, you have to go through various seasons in order to mature. In this message series, Pastor Rick shows you how to make the most out of the seasons of life, no matter which one you're in. Now, in just a few minutes, we're going to tell you about a resource that's perfect for anyone feeling spiritually run down. You can find out more by going to PastorRick.com or by texting the word daily to 99000. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part one of a message called The Season of Financial Stress.
It is a fact of life that when your outgo exceeds your income, then your upkeep will be your downfall. And everybody goes through this season regardless of how much or how little money you have. It is a myth that only poor people experience financial stress. In fact, the more you have, the more you have to worry about, the more you have to maintain, the more you have to ensure, the more you have to protect, the more you have to consider. And so you will go through this season of financial stress many times in your life because God wants to teach you some lessons. He wants to teach you to trust Him. And God, for one reason or another, has used money as an acid test of our faith and our character. Now, does God have anything to say when we go through the seasons of financial stress? Absolutely. There are numerous promises and principles in God's Word. One of the most amazing verses in the Bible is Philippians 4:19. I'd like for you to read it with me aloud on your outline. Let's read it together. God will meet all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Now, I want you to circle some words on this. First, circle the word all. It says, God will meet all your needs. Now, does that include car payments? Yes. Does that include mortgages? Yes. Does that include college tuition? I definitely hope so. I really hope so on that one. It says, God will meet all your needs. Now, that is pretty inclusive. Now, I want you to circle the word will. It says, God will meet all your needs. It doesn't say He might. It doesn't say He'll consider it. He'll think about it. It says, God will. This is a promise on which God's character is based. He will meet all your needs. Now, circle the word needs. Now, notice that it does not say there, God will meet all your greeds. Is there a difference between needs and greeds? Yes. Have you learned the difference between what you need and what you want in life? Those of you who are parents, do you give your children everything they want? No, of course not, because if you did, they'd be spoiled brats. And God doesn't want to spoil you either. God has not promised to make everybody millionaires. God has not promised to give everybody a Porsche. He has said, I will meet all your needs, legitimate needs. Now notice he says, according to His glorious riches. In other words, not based on your assets, not based on your bank account, not based on your investments, but on God's assets in Christ Jesus. Circle the phrase in Christ Jesus. The phrase in Christ Jesus means for those who are Christians. For those who are believers. Now, I need to tell you right here at the start, this is not a promise for everybody. God has not promised to meet everybody's needs in the whole wide world. This is only a promise for those who have put their faith in Christ, for those who've trusted Him for salvation, for those who've said, Jesus Christ, I want you to be the CEO, the manager in my life. I want you to call the shots. You be my leader, my guide. You be the president of my life. And God says, for those of us who do make that commitment, He says, I will meet all your needs, financial and otherwise. Quite a promise. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. You're thinking, then how come I've got financial needs? Is God a liar? I mean, is he just making this up? He's just lying? Is he exaggerating a truth? Is this like a pleasant little, you know, thought, a positive affirmation? I would hope he meets all my needs. Is he exaggerating? Has he failed? The bottom line is God a liar when he says, I'll meet all my needs, and yet all my needs aren't being met? No, God is not a liar. Then why aren't my financial needs always met? Because there are conditions with this promise. In the scripture, every promise has a premise. There are conditions. There are requirements. You can't just take this verse out of context and say, well, you know what? I'll go blow all my money on the horse race and be flat broke and then expect God to meet all my needs. God has not guaranteed to bail you out from stupid decisions you make. That's not what he's saying here. There are specifically, there are five conditions. There are five requirements. And God says, if you meet these five requirements, you will never again have to worry about your finances.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and our series called Growing in the Seasons of Life. The second half is coming right up, so please stay with us.
It's no secret that here in our nation and all around the world, the spiritual and moral foundation is deteriorating, leaving many people without hope. We need a dramatic awakening to save our people and restore them to spiritual health. If you share this burden, we would deeply appreciate your support in taking Pastor Rick's Daily Hope to disheartened and hurting people across our country and around the globe. How can you help? By becoming a partner in hope. Your regular monthly support will help us continue broadcasting the life-transforming message of the gospel across our nation and all around the world, on air and online. And to say thanks, when you give to this broadcast ministry, Rick wants to send you a signed copy of Re-Energize Your Life, a first-of-its-kind guide created from Pastor Rick's most practical teaching. This high-quality, vegan leather-bound, four-color journal experience book is a user-friendly, interactive powerhouse. Its eye-pleasing pages are packed with full-color devotionals, verses, and Bible teachings that will dramatically impact your spiritual life forever. If you feel led to become a partner in hope, or you'd like to send a one-time gift, please let us know by calling 800-600-5004 or by visiting PastorRick.com. When you give a gift, Rick has asked us to send you this amazing resource. So contact us right now to get yours at 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. Again, that's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com.
Once again, here's Rick.
And God says, if you meet these five requirements, you will never again have to worry about your finances. You will never again, you will have financial struggles because God's going to allow these seasons in your life to teach you faith. But you'll never have to worry about it when you're in the season because you know he's going to take care of you. So what I want to do this morning is I want us to identify these five conditions that God says, if you do these five things, then I guarantee that you'll never have to worry about your finances again. God has promised to meet my needs, all my financial needs, if, number one, I ask for his help. If I ask for his help. You see, God is waiting for you to ask. The Lord never shuts his storehouse until you shut your mouth. Over 20 times in Scripture, the Bible says, ask. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. And God wants you to learn to ask about financial things, about cars and clothes and shoes and homes and all kinds of material things. God wants you to ask. Now, you see, one of the reasons why we see so few miracles in our lives is we just don't ask for them. And instead of living a life based on Christ, we live a life based on credit. Are you familiar with this? And we have a little thing called credit cards. That when we have something that we need in our life, instead of stopping and asking God for it, before we even think about asking God for it, we use that credit card and we trust credit instead of Christ. Now, let me give you a little principle. If you want to see God work in your life, here it is. Write this down. I will pray for it before I pay for it. I will pray for it. I'll learn to pray for it before I pay for it. Do you pray about major purchases before you make them? Or you just say, well, let's just go do it. We got a credit card. Every time you use that credit card before you pray about it, you're short-circuiting a possible miracle in your life. Now listen, I'm telling you right up front, God is not going to give you everything you pray for, so don't be surprised. He's not going to give you everything you pray for. But there are some things He does want to give you just to do a miracle in your life. And many of you have never had a financial answer to prayer because you've never prayed specifically. Notice what the Bible says. James 4:2. You do not have because you do not what? Ask God. He said you don't ask God. And I am just saying, before you charge a person purchase, why don't you ask Christ about it first? Give God a chance. And let Him, if He wants to, do a miracle. Now, why does God tell me over and over again in the Scriptures, at least 20 times in the New Testament, He wants me to ask Him for things in my life? Well, look at the next verse. Jesus says, "You have not asked for anything in My name. Ask and you will receive, so that your joy," circle that, "will be the fullest possible joy." Do you know why God wants you to learn to ask for things in prayer? So He can give them, so you'll be full of joy. Because God is a loving Father. He's not some ogre, some meanie, some, you know, guy sitting in the sky waiting to make your life miserable, deal you a bummer. What He wants to do is bless your life, because He's a loving Father. You know, I love to give my kids gifts as a father. In fact, I would spoil them rotten if it weren't for my wife. Because she has a little good sense in life, and she'll say, you know, Rick, you're giving them too much. I love to give my kids things. And God is that way with you. God is a giver. The Bible says God is love, and you can't love without giving. God is the greatest giver. And so He wants us to learn to be giving too. When I first fell in love with Kay, I could not keep money in my pocket. I mean, I was spending, every time I'd turn around, I was buying her something. I'd see something on TV and go, oh, I got to get that for Kay. You know, this kitchen magician, it really looks cool. You know, it looks so, but wait, you get the Ginzu knives with it. And the Oriental Lock steamer, oh, we got one of those. You know, and I was buying her everything. Why? You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. And God loves you, and He wants to give to you. Why? So that your joy will be full. Why? Because the greatest advertisement for Jesus Christ is a happy Christian. And while everybody else, all are on your block and in your neighborhood, is struggling to keep up with the Joneses, and they're going deeper and deeper and deeper in debt, and you're sitting there, and then all of a sudden there's one house on the block that's going, we don't pay for it, we pray for it first. We give God a chance to get it. And look what God did. He provided this, He provided that. That's a testimony. And it shows to the world what kind of God God really is. Does that make sense? The first condition for you to have all your needs met is you must be willing to ask. Now, God knows what you need in advance, but He's not going to give it until you ask. God didn't save you until you asked. And God won't provide for some of the needs in your life until you first ask. Learn to be specific. Number two, God has promised to meet all my financial needs if I learn to be content. If I learn to be content. Because God is much more interested in my character than in my comfort. So He's not going to give me things if I haven't learned this principle first. Contentment. Now, what is contentment? Contentment is not having financial goals. You ought to have financial goals. In fact, the Bible says you ought to plan your spending. You ought to budget. All through the book of Proverbs, it teaches us principles of spending, principles of investing, principles of tithing, principles of saving. And all these principles you must follow if you want God's blessing in your life. And one of them is the principle of learning to be content. Now, contentment, as I said, is not having no ambition. It's a, well, I don't have any ambitions for life. It's not having any goals. No, that's not it at all. Contentment is this. Would you write it down? Contentment means my happiness doesn't depend on circumstances. My happiness doesn't depend on circumstances. How do you know when you're not content? Well, when you're not content, you fall prey to what I call when and then thinking. When and then thinking, and it goes like this. When I get this car, then I'm going to be happy. When we get this house, then we're going to be happy. When I get that dress, when I develop that retirement account, when we retire, when I am financially secure, then I'll be happy. No, you won't. I want to tell you, you won't. Because things do not bring lasting happiness. They do for a while, but the happiness wears off. Why? Because things don't change and you do. Why is it that you want to redecorate your house every so often? Because things don't change and people do. And so that painting that used to really thrill you, you can't stand anymore. Or that bedspread you thought was so cool when you got it, you don't like it anymore. Why? Things don't change. And we're made to like change. We're made to like variety. And so we want to get a new model car and we want to do all these other things. And we become discontent. Now, how do you eliminate the discontent? Well, the way you get rid of, the way you learn to be content is by eliminating the cause. And the cause of discontent is always the same thing. It's comparing. Comparing is what causes discontent. Now, in Orange County, we have made comparing an indoor sport. We compare everything in this county. We compare lawns. His is greener. We compare cars. We compare husbands and wives. We compare clothes. We even compare the education of our kids and put little stickers that says, my kid was student of the month. I love that one that says, my kid beat up the student of the month. And so and so. I'm going to get that one. That's the one I want. Okay. I like the one that says, my kid was inmate of the month at Chino Prison. But we are incessantly comparing everything around us. And whenever you compare, you're always going to become discontent. You got to learn to stop comparing yourself to others. Most of you know I am a computer nut. And I love state-of-the-art computers. And a while back, I got the top primo, top-of-the-line computer. I mean, it had everything on it. And I got this, and when I got it and I unpacked it, I want to know, I was happy. There is a happiness in things for a little while. But you know, it wore off because just a few, I mean, it was minutes or hours later, I don't remember when it was, I picked up the latest issue of PC Magazine, opened it up, and the new model had come out. And I'm going, they sold me last week's model. And all my joy just went, bleh. I mean, I thought I had the screaming machine, and now it was already out of date before I had even used it. And boy, was I upset. Now, you know what I'm talking about. You get a new stereo, and you put it in. You go, wow, this sounds so great. And then you go next door, and they just got one that has twice the power, and the speakers are this big. And they're hidden and you can't even find them. And it gives this surround sound that gives you goosebumps on your goosebumps. And all of a sudden your little Radio Shack version isn't worth it anymore. Comparing always gets you in trouble. You gotta learn to be content. Notice what Paul says. Philippians 4:12. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of contentment in every situation. Circle the word learn. Contentment is something you have to learn. It does not come natural. By nature, human beings are not content. By nature, we are discontent. And so God says, I want you to learn to be content. And if you'll do this, then I promise to meet all your financial needs. 1 Timothy 6, 6-8 says this, there is a great gain in godliness combined with contentment. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. Now, you know that's true. I mean, I know that's true. You didn't bring anything into the world. I was there at the birth of my three kids. I was in the Lamaze thing, and when they all popped out, not one of them had a boombox on their shoulder, you know? And I've been at the funerals, and when you die, you don't cram a whole bunch of goodies into the coffin with you and take it with you. Now, listen. One of the greatest secrets in life and learning to be happy and peace of mind is to realize that you really don't own anything. You really don't own anything. It's all on loan to you for about 80 years. You didn't bring a single thing into this world, and you're not going to carry anything out of it either. You just get to use it while you're here on earth. The Bible calls that stewardship. That you are the manager or you are the steward of what God allows you to have while you're here, but it's not really yours because you're not going to take it with you and you didn't bring it in the first place. And if God wanted you to lose it, you could lose it all overnight in a dozen different ways. So when you have this idea of I'm just a manager of the blessings God allows in my life and you hold them with an open hand, you're not always grasping, you're not always hoarding, you're not always, you know, uptight about what if I lose it? Well, so what if you lose it? God can turn off one faucet and turn on another just as easily. You learn to be content. Why? Because things don't last. What does last? Your character. And God's far more interested, as I said, in your character than in your comfort.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and our series called Growing in the Seasons of Life. Now, if you'd like a copy of today's message, including portions we didn't have time for, or if you'd like to sign up for Rick's free Daily Hope email devotional, just go to PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com with two R's in the middle. You'll find this message and others along with more helpful resources. It's no secret that in our nation and around the world, the spiritual and moral foundation is deteriorating, leaving many people without hope. We need a dramatic awakening to save our people and restore them to spiritual health. If you share this burden, we would deeply appreciate your support in taking Pastor Rick's Daily Hope to disheartened and hurting people across the country and around the globe. Here's Pastor Rick to tell you more.
One of the reasons that I started Daily Hope is to take the message of hope, not just across our country, but all around the world, to people who need a shot of encouragement, who need the message and word of hope in a discouraging day. And that message can only be found in Jesus. Would you help me with this? I really need your help. I can't do it by myself. And I'd like to ask you to become my partner in the Daily Hope ministry. If you'll make a monthly investment as a partner in hope, you can help me broadcast these life-transforming messages from God's Word, not just here in America, but in podcasts and online and literally all around the world. And I want to say thanks for your support. And as your first gift of being a partner in hope, I want to send you a signed copy. I'll sign this copy of my new Bible study tool called Re-energize Your Life. I know it'll help you grow. It's an important resource. I'm very proud of it. I'm excited to offer it to you. And we want to offer it to you as you become a partner in hope together with us. God bless you. Let me hear from you.
If you feel led to become a partner in hope, or you'd simply like to make a one-time gift, please call 800-600-5004 or visit PastorRick.com. Either way, Rick has asked us to send you this high-quality vegan leather-bound four-color journal experience book. Its eye-pleasing pages are packed with full-color devotionals, as well as verses and Bible teachings that will dramatically impact your spiritual life forever. So contact us right now to get yours at 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.